Welcome back, listeners, to your AfterBuzz TV after show for Game of Thrones Season 7, Episode 5, Eastwatch. Which is a really strange title because we were there probably the least in the whole episode.
You're tuning into the destination for TV superfan discussion, AfterBuzz TV. And now, let the buzz begin!
Yeah!
Alright!
Guys, we are over the hump.
Over the hump.
No.
Next week is the penultimate episode, which is always the best one in the season, right? But hey, everybody, welcome back to the after show for Game of Thrones. My name's Kyle Baddick. I'm going to be running this shindig tonight, and I got a lovely panel of hosts with me. Guys?
I'm Kristen Elizabeth Snyder. You can follow me at Cinematic Escape.
I'm Dave Child. You can find me at MR Dave Child on the Instagrams and the Twitters and in your hearts. And also go to DaveChild.com. I'm Dave Child. Who are you?
Hi. I'm Ryan Malady. Valar Morghulis, it's good to be back. Thank you so much, Amber, for filling in while I was gone. I'll be gone a couple times this season, but it's always good to have to listen to you guys. I'm from the other side. I feel like a super fan of this panel. I love
Welcome
it.
Back.
Yeah.
Thank you very much. And thank you guys so much for subscribing, liking, and commenting on YouTube. We have our chat maester sitting at YouTube.com/AfterBuzzTV. Take it away, Amber.
Thanks, Ryan. That was a great intro. You guys can follow me on Instagram and Twitter at Amber Plaster. I will be your chat maester for the evening, and be careful because the chat is lit and full of spoilers. For those of you listening on the podcast, if you watch this live with us, you can chat with us, and if you are not able to catch it live, you can always join us in the comments on the YouTube channel.
Wonderful. Huzzah. Wonderful. Here we are, guys.
Ooh.
Guys, after last week's, I just...
I know.
It's just, we had a good episode here.
It was good.
There was a whole lot going on in this one.
Yeah.
I don't even really know where to start, to be perfectly honest. Every week I sort of pick a destination. We talk about that place. But there was so many main characters, main storylines hopping around the world. Ravens were getting anywhere, everywhere so fast. I'm not entirely sure how this is going to play out. So I think we're just going to roll with it, guys.
Sure.
We're going to talk about it. We're going to see what comes out with. But I think the best place to start is with Bran. Because he sends off, he has his little raven thing, and then he sends off some messages, which sort of gets the ball rolling on a lot of stories.
Yeah, he sees that the dead are approaching, they're closer than people think, and they're getting real close to Eastwatch, and he does that through warging with the raven, and so he immediately wants to send out a raven so everyone knows.
There we go.
So we're kind of getting a sense of what Bran is going to be doing with his third-eyed raven blind powers, because it kind of seems because he's actually spreading information and trying to get people together and at least inform as many people as possible.
And this is the first time we saw that and how powerful it can be, really, him and his visions and spreading the word that way. So it was nice to finally see how Bran's story fits into all the rest, because I know a lot of people were annoyed at his story over the years and found him, like, the least exciting storyline.
Everyone loves Bran. What are you talking about?
I think last week someone referred to him as the internet. He's become, like, the magic internet, and I think we actually saw that happen.
Yeah.
So we have definitely seen a skin changer or a warger. There was a wildling in previous seasons who was warging with the birds and everything, kind of doing that. So we see Bran doing it, and I was waiting for that moment for the Night's King to turn around and see it, because he has that sense. He can tell when Bran is around, whether in visions or warging and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And indeed he does, and he, you know, disperses the flock of ravens there.
Now, but the only people who don't seem to want to corroborate, it's like the further south you go, the more that this Army of the Dead becomes a mythos.
Yeah, I mean, the Dornish have nothing to worry about. It's going to take forever for those guys to walk across, right?
You got Old Town. Is this the first time they're hearing about it? I mean, because we have... the entire North is rallying around this idea of the Army of the Dead, and this is the first time. Did I just jump into the?
Please go, because I don't know how we're going to break into it. Please go everywhere.
And this is the first time they've heard about it. You know, I mean, obviously, you know, this is something that has been reoccurring throughout every season of Game of Thrones thus far, and it strikes me hard to swallow that this is the first time the Citadel has heard of it or addressed it. Which is ultimately their denial. I mean, all they wanted to do is corroborate if it actually was from Brandon Stark. But Sam saw that as taking too long. And
Well, they didn't even just... I think they believe it's from Brandon Stark. They just don't believe Brandon Stark. They don't believe that the dead are actually walking. And I think this isn't the first time they've heard reports about it, but they just refuse to believe it because they want to have the power of, like...
Well, Dave, they do mention that they believe it may be a ploy from Cersei, or the Dragon Queen, excuse me, to empty the southern lands of men, and they'll go north, so...
Yeah, so they believe it's, like, a tactic, but they don't actually believe the dead are walking. They just can't... They can't believe that.
It's men of science. It's hard to believe something supernatural.
You remember when, I forgot who, who was it that sent all those ravens that caused, right when Sir Davos was learning how to read, and he caught this scroll and he read it and he brought it to Stannis, he's like, there's a bigger problem here, this army of the dead. Mm. That was way back in, season 3?
Yeah.
And so, I mean, these scrolls have been sent out to all the lords before. Yeah. And to have this, you know, this message being repeated over and over, you would think that this is something they have talked about, but apparently they haven't. They sit there in their back room chomping cigars, and whatever maesters talk about.
They talk about chomping their change.
Well, they were actually talking about Jenny of Oldstones, which is a significant thing to the book readers. It was ooh, yes, I was happy to hear that, but I don't want to get into all that mythology and stuff because it probably doesn't even matter much to the show. I think just kind of a little nod to show watcher to book readers, excuse me.
Speaking of book readers, if we are down there talking about Sam and the Citadel, I mean, how about my cousin Gilly?
I know. I thought the same thing. I was like, this is a scene from My Cousin Vinny where she shows him the pictures which have the answer in it.
Yeah.
And he's like, oh, I don't care. This is stupid. Why are you showing me in the shower? All this. And this is totally a scene because Gilly brings up, she is reading a scroll that describes how the Grand Maester, gave an annulment to Rhaegar so that he could have a secret marriage in Dorne, which we are to believe is with Lyanna.
Yeah.
And that means, that has big ramifications, because Jon is a legitimate heir.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Because it was annulled.
Yes.
So he's no longer the bastard son of Rhaegar Targaryen.
Yeah,
he's a legitimate son.
That was huge news, and it's Sam doesn't even pick up on it.
I know,
and I was like, "Whoa, okay," because we knew about the Targaryens, but I don't think we knew. Maybe I'm wrong. That I thought he was a bastard son. I thought he was a love child.
I thought it was a child of passion.
Yeah,
based on them running away together, but they ran together in some kind of a legitimate elope.
Yeah, but it's a legitimate heir.
Which makes sense because the Tower of Joy, where Jon is born, is in the Dornish area. It's a bit above Dorne, so it's around there. So it makes sense that their marriage would happen there. They'd consummate the marriage immediately, and then Jon was born in the same area.
Yeah, and just to jump forward to that, since we're on the Jon track here, I was thinking about that Targaryen news heavily when he meets Drogon.
Yes.
And that moment where they actually connect. And I love how he takes out his hand and lets him sniff his hand, which is just how he approaches direwolves and just how, like, he interacts with ghosts. So he already knows how to handle these giant beasts, even though this is an even bigger, more dangerous beast.
They are not beasts. They are children.
Sorry, Dave. Sorry, babies. Giant, scary babies.
Giant, scary babies.
Some babies are giant.
No, that's a great point. I was thinking, like, all right. Right, because he has Targaryen blood.
Yeah.
And the dragon should be able to pick up on that. I mean, I want to know, has Jon ever accidentally burned himself before? Does Jon have the blood of the dragon?
That might be a special Daenerys thing, but that is an interesting point.
Yeah,
I don't remember in the show specifically. I know in the books, during that attack with the whites, that he mentions later on how there was a white in Castle Black at one point that he had to fight. I can't. Do you guys remember if he burnt his hand in that scene? Because he does in the books. I can't recall if he did in the show or not.
I don't know.
Yeah,
I don't know.
I don't recall him being burned, but
I don't.
You would think that you would have some memory of being burned as a child. You know, I mean, isn't that something?
Yeah, but it's maybe just something where it's like, oh, that's something people do. It's like you've never had coffee, so you don't remember not having coffee.
It's true. It's true. So I'm not having coffee right now, and I remember every second of it. No, actually. It was Daenerys noticed for the first time that she couldn't be burnt when she held the dragon eggs. When she put them in the fire and then she picked them up and then the Dothraki, you know, handmaiden came in and said, oh no, you'll hurt yourself.
Yeah.
And then she realized, wow, I didn't. So maybe it is possible that he just doesn't know yet.
Right.
What about Sam leaving the Citadel, leaving his dreams behind of being a maester? But he stole some scrolls. I think this is going to be more helpful to everyone.
Yeah.
But what he doesn't still know is that his father and brother were burned.
Yeah,
they burned the dick off.
Oh, you went for that.
Well, someone had to. Now we can move on. I think
shaking our heads.
All ashamed.
So it did seem a little unlike Sam. His short-temperedness, his impatience with Gilly, and him just leaving so abruptly. I mean,
not before he gives Sam a book to read.
Important regarding John being burned. So Rhaegar being John's alleged father, was born during a fire where many Targaryens died, and yet Rhaegar did not die in the fire. He was born in the fire.
Interesting.
So it's interesting that Jon is the direct lineage of that. So perhaps you're onto something with him not being able to be burned.
Maybe.
Yeah.
Mm. Yeah, he's...
only one way to find out.
They called him the Last Dragon. So,
back to Sam for a moment. You guys think he was just... I thought this was such a brave, awesome moment where he was becoming a hero. Where he was like... He's like, these guys are just going to sit around. They're not going to do anything. Let me take all the scrolls that pertain to how we fight these bad guys, and let me go do something about it. Let me take it to where it's going to mean something. And it's him stepping up, not being the coward that we have known him for. So he's had his moments of bravery, and I believe this is truly one of them.
Right.
Winning is about taking action, and he's doing that
now. But what is he doing, really? I mean, if his goal was to find out what it was in those scrolls that could help, you would think that he would have found that out before he decided to leave.
He couldn't. That's why he stole them, to take them with him.
Did he steal them? He stole the scrolls.
He could have been there reading more, and as soon as he found out something, he could have sent a raven.
He wasn't allowed to read those scrolls, though.
Yeah,
they were in a private area.
It would just be a matter of time.
Plus, they give him, like, what, an hour or two a day to read? Other times, he's just cleaning up after everybody?
Yeah. He would become a very qualified maester who can actually, like, help people out, but it would take years. It would take 10 years,
and by then the realm would be destroyed.
So where is he going?
I think he's going to go north. I think he's going to go back to Winterfell.
That's where he's heading.
Yeah,
I thought the same thing.
The chat said that John was burned in season 1.
Cool.
Burned, but maybe he'd still survive.
No, that's true. That's a good point.
I also don't think necessarily that's. That getting burned is a trait that every Targaryen has. I think that might just be a Daenerys.
Well, he's a half blood, right?
It's true.
Yeah, it's true too.
Yeah.
Ah, yeah.
Oh, he's got some ice in him too.
Yeah, fire and ice.
Fire and ice.
Fire, yeah, yeah.
He is the Song of Ice and Fire.
There you go.
Good catch.
I love it
over there.
That's an interesting theory, though.
Yeah. So with Sam going up north. It's maybe we should talk about Winterfell. What's happening at Winterfell?
Absolutely.
And Arya.
Well, it starts off before we even get to Arya here. Winterfell kind of starts off with people being mad at Jon for his decision that we'll talk about a little bit later on. But they are starting to turn to Sansa in this leadership role, and we have this talk between Arya and Sansa, where it seemed to me Arya was saying, "I know that you want this throne here."
Mm-hmm. Well, I think it's also...
Is that what she was talking about?
I think it's Arya recognizing the darkness that's in Sansa because she's come face to face with the darkness in herself.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not necessarily accusing her of taking Jon's place and turning into Cersei. I think it's just like, watch out because you have this inside of you, just as, you know, I have a killer assassin inside of me. That's what I read it as. But I think what's happening is Littlefinger is trying to bring up that
he's driving a wedge
in between them.
Oh, he is definitely doing that, and as we see with the stalking scene.
Yeah.
First Arya sees Littlefinger giving this girl poison, or what's he giving this girl?
I thought it was kind of having a little bird.
Money, or what was
it? Yeah,
what did he give her? I kind of missed what he put in her hand.
I saw it as secrets or something, just exchanging money.
A bottle of secrets.
A bottle of secrets.
Secrets in a jar. Yeah, it's Littlefinger doing what Littlefinger does, and the whole time I'm thinking
so he'd be seen.
We find out later
absolutely.
On.
Absolutely. I'm like, this guy is like a master spy. Like, he knows
why
when he's being
so
followed.
Obvious.
Yeah, as much as Arya thinks she's really good, I mean, she's a great assassin.
Pass this note.
Yeah.
I mean,
she finds it in the mattress and signs it. Do you like me? Yes, no, maybe.
Yeah. Make
that joke. I really want that note.
So Littlefinger's doing those things. He passes the note or the secret, the bottle of secrets, whatever it is. Then he goes and he talks to Lord Royce and he's kind of and do this. And then he talks to the maester at Winterfell and he gets the only copy of
that
the
was
note.
Suspicious. That was suspicious. Was like, is this the only copy in the whole castle? All right, let's stop talking in the hallway. Go inside.
Yeah, he knew what he was doing.
So
yeah,
then he goes in, he hides it, and he leaves his room. And Arya goes in afterwards. Arya finds it in his mattress. Like any true guy who knows how to hide his money and his valuables in his mattress, and we read it. And we find out it is the note that was sent to Rob, that Sansa was forced to write when she was a captive in King's Landing, to Rob to go and bend the knee to Joffrey.
Yes, that's what we believe it is, because we had a few seconds to pause and look at it.
Yeah, but it's definitely that letter that Sansa wrote under
the knife.
Under the knife from Cersei. But what it looks like, to anyone who was not informed of that situation,
which is Arya.
Arya. It looks like to her, I'm sure, that Sansa is
setting
responsible.
Conspiring. Or she's willing to throw her own family under the bus for power. Mm-hmm. Or for to align herself with power. And it's pretty far off, but it's not too far off from what her behavior kind of shows. You know, how she's not really defending Jon, but she's being real political. Right. She's
so what's Arya going to do? She's obviously going to confront Sansa again.
Well,
there's going to be
more
tension.
You know,
she's not going to kill her, but it's like, I don't want to see a lot of tension, so hopefully it gets resolved next episode.
Yeah, and I think if anything, it's she's more suspicious of Littlefinger than she is of Sansa. I think she's afraid that Littlefinger's going to manipulate Sansa or bring out the worst in Sansa.
But Littlefinger played this pretty well. As far as we know, Arya has no idea that Littlefinger knew about her following him.
Yeah, but even
so Littlefinger played that really well.
He's taking the focus away from him and putting it on Sansa.
He's creating chaos.
Yeah.
Which is a ladder.
The ladder.
Exactly. That is his MO, and that's what he's going to do. Because whatever happens, even if they're like, oh, we're still sisters, like, he knows it's going to be in the back of Arya's head the whole time. Or they're going to have a big blowout, a big conflict. Whatever it is, it's going to cause some problems.
It's going to be a distraction.
It's going to be a distraction. Exactly. So that's Littlefinger.
I think he's going down this season.
I love
to
watch this guy work. As much as we all hate him, I love to watch him work.
I've never hated Littlefinger. I've always loved him.
I've always loved the way he talks.
No, he's just he's a brilliant character, and I hope he sticks around for a little bit longer. I don't want Arya just to like off him, because I know she can. She probably wants to.
Right.
So let's go to Dragonstone.
Yeah.
Now, guys, we have our first glimpse of Dragonstone is Drogon Landing. Your guys already mentioned this, the petting scene.
And, I mean, we should also talk about what happens before with Bronn and
Jaime.
Yeah, because they escape the burning themselves.
It was Bronn. We weren't sure if it was Dickon or Bronn, but it was Bronn.
It was Bronn, and then we saw what happened with Dickon.
Ooh. Which, by the way, can I just say that was the first time I was upset with Daenerys. Like, I literally, when she burned father and son, Dickon and Randall Tarly. That was the first time I was like, they didn't deserve that, and I didn't feel good about her decision.
It reminded me back when Robb Stark beheaded Lord Karstark. It was one of those things where it's like, oh, this is what you do. But it wasn't
not,
the right thing.
That
it
was not one of her men.
Yeah, but it was like Tyrion said. I mean, this is a house
that has
been around forever. You know, how are you going to fight a war if you start off by cutting off the heads of all your potential allies?
See, I disagree. This is war. These people were fighting against her. Their allies have already killed tons of her people.
Mm-hmm.
Like, here it is saying, hey, I beat you, and I'm going to take your leader, knock him off, and you guys are going to, better follow me.
I just didn't like it, that's all.
I just wish it was a beheading, because that would seem more noble.
It would seem more Westerosi.
When you do burn it, it was cool. But it also, it scared Tyrion, because I think in Tyrion's eyes, it seemed very Mad Kingy. So it seemed like she was getting a bit of the Mad King.
But she
in her.
said more than once, I think two or three times, are you sure you don't want to bend the knee? Because
yes.
It will mean death. She clarified sure. more than Tywin about, would have.
Yeah. I had more of a respect for Daenerys.
Oh, yeah,
no.
Much more.
After this
that
scene.
Part I agree with. It's the burning alive.
It's her signature.
It's her exactly.
Yeah,
exactly.
But it's a terrible death. It's a horrible death.
What death is good? Come on. We can't all go out like Olenna.
Clean cut.
Clean cut. With a sword. Ned actually had the nicest death, probably.
Here's the thing. She's not showing that she's her dad. Her dad just wanted to burn everybody indiscriminately. She's mm-hmm. She is doing a selective burning.
No. Yes, I agree. And she did it. She did the burning in order to scare people
and not have to burn everyone else that was there.
Yeah. Right, and fear is what she's using now. This is the one time that I've seen her recruit army troops by threatening their lives. Everyone else fights for her because they believe in her, because they love her, because she freed them, because they follow her. Mm. Misa.
I agree.
And this is the first time that I've seen her give an ultimatum, die or follow me. And you know what? Who's not going to bend a knee when they see a dragon? They'll bend the knee
Randall
today.
Randall Tarly
but
isn't.
He won't. Well. But they'll run off tomorrow, or they'll betray her tomorrow. Fear doesn't inspire.
Yeah, I think that's what bothered me. The fact that their choice was kneel or die, because normally she does say, if you don't want to be here, go, or it's usually something like that. And people do want to follow her and get behind her when the choice is that. But the fact that they didn't have a choice in this situation, I think, and she burned them alive, it was just like on top of one another for me.
Here's one thing you don't want to burn, though, is your plated food. That you'll get from our sponsors at Plated. When you make a meal, we got a live read we got to do.
Yeah, guys.
Master of segues.
Thank you, Dave. I was so into this episode. Yeah. Here we go. Yeah, guys, let's give a shout-out to
the Iron Bank.
Absolutely. Let's give a shout-out to our sponsor this week, Plated.com. Unfortunately, we don't hang out too much outside of this. But if you guys did hang out with me, you would know that I don't stop eating food. No. I eat it all the time. I ate a big meal before I came here. I love food. And Plated.com sends food to your house.
They sent it to me.
They sent it to you. Yes. Mm-hmm. What did you get?
I got the zucchini honey pizza and the sesame noodles.
Sweet pizza.
Because I'm vegetarian, so I got both the vegetarian options, and it was really good. It only took about like a half an hour to make both dishes. I did it with a friend.
Oh,
so,
there we go.
You know, I was like, hey, we're going to make dinner together. We don't have to go to the store first. You just come on over. I got all the ingredients. I got the directions right here. We worked together. We created a masterpiece, and then we dined over a candlelight.
Yes. Right. I love
okay,
it.
Okay, so what really happened?
They got a dragon to fly in, cooked it for them, and everything. I have Italian burgers coming with mozzarella and a corn salad. Oh, my God. I can't wait for it to come.
I forgot what I picked, but I definitely remember checking out the website. It was Plated.com, right?
Plated.com? Yeah, absolutely. You can get 50%
really cool
off right now.
Oh, don't worry. I will tell them.
Okay.
I got to see a bunch of menu items. They're really cool. There's a bunch of different chefs who put together these meals. And if you don't mind waiting a few days, it beats going to the store and finding recipes of your own. It's really cool. It's just it's a complete package. They send you the food, they send you the instructions, and you can just sit back, pop on a rerun of the old GOT, a bottle of red wine, make yourself some dinner, or, get a friend.
I love it.
Get a friend. Be social.
Kristen, you sound like a much better chef than me, but I'm excited that the direction, that the instructions, the recipe comes with it and everything.
It does.
I don't know my way around the kitchen too well, but I think I'm going to make a damn good burger when it comes.
Hair.
But guys, everybody, here, check this out. Discover your ideal dinner experience. Go to plated.com/buzz to get 50% off your first plated box. That's 50%, guys. For limited time only. Terms apply. See plated.com/buzz for details. That's at plated.com/buzz.
I did Boom. It. I went to see it because my box was so good, and I'm going to get 50% off my next box now.
Sounds Boom. Good.
I love it. I love it, guys.
So, back to burning people.
Back to the real meal.
But afterwards, so they go back to Dragonstone, and I love that scene with Tyrion and Varys, where they kind of just talk about they're having a moment where they're getting a little worried. They're sharing a drink, and he's got the he's got that message from the North
in
his hand. which makes John want to go back up north. And he's recruiting people already in Dragonstone. And
he thought Arya and Bran was dead, so he got that news alongside with Bran saw the Night King and the army coming towards the wall.
Yeah, sure. So they take that and they're trying to figure out how they're going to convince Cersei of it, too.
Now, here's where I get slightly confused. I hope I'm not alone. Because obviously there's an air of haste. Oh my god, my brother's alive, my sister's alive, and the Army of the Dead is like knocking at Eastwatch's door. Time's kind of speeding up. Let's get up there.
Okay.
But you know, can you walk me through the plan here to avoid conflict with public enemy number one? So I know that their plan.
Which one's public enemy number one right now?
Cersei.
Okay, there we go.
Their plan is to go all the way up north of the wall.
Yep.
Grab
one of the whites.
One of the whites.
Put them in a cage
and bring them back down. What bothers me though is that Cersei has a Walking Dead guy of her own.
They don't know that.
I know they don't know that, but she has.
But that was scientific.
But that just goes.
That's
to show,
a Franken dead. This is a Romero dead.
Right, but what is really the?
Well, they're the hoping that she's going to see him and believe the threat to the north, and then I guess suspend fighting to Dany for a minute so that they can attack the problem with the Night King and the Army of the Dead marching towards the Seven Kingdoms.
Yeah, because
I think that's their hope.
Because right now, neither Cersei nor Daenerys can fight it. I mean, Cersei obviously doesn't believe at the moment, but Daenerys can't go off and fight that problem because if she goes up there, Cersei will
take Dragonstone.
We'll just we'll have just an upper hand down in the south. Mm-hmm. So they need to have some sort of stop to the battle.
Hopefully, the
Cersei's help too.
Not going to happen.
Yeah, anyone believe?
Because she's welcoming the meeting. You know that meeting's not going to go well.
She's going to see the dead guy and be like, "Yeah, whatever."
Yeah, whatever. Like, let's kill everybody else. Where's the step?
She'll rip him in half like all the pieces of paper that are presented to her that might air for peace, but sue for peace, but it won't happen.
I think she will literally blow up the meeting.
There's
Yeah, that sounds about right.
There's a part in the books where they do send down one of the dead bodies, or it's like one of the hands or something, and it's wiggling around. Mm-hmm. And they take the person and they put him in a jail cell. They put him away in like the holding room for so long that by the time he brings the dead body part, it's decomposed.
But it's not a moving skeleton because we've seen those.
Well, it's like a hand just like or something. I can't remember. It's something that's moving around.
And how did she take it?
Obviously dead. Well, it was gone by the time it got to her.
So I also don't think that was Cersei. Was that Cersei?
I don't remember who it was. It was somebody.
But it's, I mean, now they have teleportation powers. So they could just kind of go. And they were, I mean, I've been defending this and I do think that there's a sense of months passing in between each shot, I hope, because it just makes it so how many months passed in this one episode? I feel like this was a year.
Yeah.
With how much traveling went from one place to another to another.
Because Dragonstone's all the way down.
Yeah, it's
south.
All the way south, and they have to go back. And we're seeing people in this episode I did not expect to see again or have them meet, starting with Jaime and Tyrion.
Boom. Let's go there.
That really surprised me. When Tyrion kind of walked up on the beach of King's Landing, I didn't think he was going to meet with Jaime, but though they said that was going to happen, it still surprised me.
Yeah, he got a message to Bronn, and they arranged
him. He's his best friend.
I'm glad that he's still friends with Bronn. Yeah. I was worried about that.
Of course
he is. I want them to be together.
They will.
How do you guys feel about that rendezvous between Jaime and Tyrion? A lot of feels.
Yeah, you could tell Jaime, good acting. On Nikolai's part there. Yeah. He just had this restrained sort of, you killed that dad.
Yeah, but he also knows now that he definitely didn't kill his son. He didn't think that to begin with.
He knows that now, but he definitely killed his dad.
Yeah,
and he's still pretty pissed about it, as it's understandable. But what I didn't get was any kind of closure from this meeting. It was almost like cut a little short. I feel like the scene served its purpose, but the other purpose was to reunite these two and see what would happen. How do you think they left each other? On what kind of terms did they leave each other? Because they had the meeting. Tyrion gave him, convinced him, hey, tell Cersei that we need to, all meet. But how do you think they left each other on that?
I think it's strictly, like, military meeting. Like even when he tried to talk about his dad, Jamie was all like, what do you want? What do you actually want? So he's, like, cutting off the fact that they were brothers at one point, cutting off that bloodline and keeping it really military at this point. And what do you need? What do you want? We're not on the same side anymore. Yeah. And obviously, we got a bit of information that makes us now see that Jaime will not ever be on Tyrion's side again.
Mm. Well,
with
maybe.
The whole pregnancy, I'm just going to throw it out there.
Oh, Cersei is pregnant.
So the chat has been dying to talk pregnant. About this pregnancy for what seems like forever. And I just want to let you guys know, also, they are dying to give a nickname to the people who are going behind the wall, the unlikely.
The Seven.
People are saying the Frozen 13. I didn't know there was 13 of them.
It looked like there were seven of them.
The Frozen, yeah.
They're also saying the Frozen Friendship.
What?
But back to the pregnancy, there is a lot of speculation about the pregnancy, and a lot of people are saying that Cersei has no reason to fake the pregnancy, and a lot of people are saying that she has every reason
to fake it.
She has every reason. Why are they saying she doesn't have every reason?
She has plenty of reason.
Because I guess they're saying that, like, if she's not pregnant, then Jaime will lose trust in her, and it will be a problem.
I also wouldn't be surprised, because she's feeling like she's starting to lose it a little bit, that maybe she thinks she's pregnant, and she might not be. So there could be an hysterical pregnancy side of that. But, I mean, we'll see.
Do you guys believe her? Who thinks she's actually pregnant?
I do. I think she is.
There was a prophecy that said that she couldn't have more than three kids, but I guess it wasn't.
Is that what the prophecy said?
But maybe because she'll be dead.
But did the prophecy say no more than three, or did it say you'll have three kids?
It said that you're going to have three kids and they're all going to die, I believe.
Right.
But
so maybe the fourth one won't?
This one was not with Robert Baratheon.
Right.
So maybe, I mean, neither were the other three, but they're supposed to be.
It's sort of.
I'm going to go ahead and say that she's not pregnant. When we were watching the show, I thought that she was. But now, like, she knew, if she really did know this meeting was taking place, like, she knows that Jaime saved his brother and he would do it again.
Yeah.
The only way to get Jaime completely on her side again is to give him motivation to live again. Because we saw two episodes ago, he was like, why should we keep fighting? We have nothing to fight for. Our children are dead. Now, she gave him a reason to actually try
now
and fight
and win. Now they have an heir to keep the throne.
Yeah.
And it's also a way to keep, because this is like, I feel like there's a wedge that's being in between Jaime and Cersei this entire time, and now there's something kind of that's going to connect them again. Speaking of Robert Baratheon's kids, let's talk about a return that I did not see coming, but I'm happy to see, which is Gendry.
You mean Clovis?
The hammer.
Clovis. I love that the Onion Knight, even Davos, even says, like, the meme that's been happening, which is just, he's still rowing. I thought you'd still be rowing, because that's the one thing that he's the dangling thread.
So did Davos tell him when he put him on the boat, did he say the best place to hide is right under their nose? Did he actually say that line?
I forget.
Because Gendry comes back and says it in this episode. He's like, you were right. The best place to hide was right under their nose. Because when we popped into this episode, it's like, how is he hiding right there? But it's true. I mean, there's so much going on. They're not looking for him. He shaved his head a little bit, you know. Come on. Cut his hair down. So,
I thought he looked really cute.
Yeah, but
really
you did.
Really attractive. He's like really growing into himself, especially when he swings that hammer.
I love that he has a hammer like his dad. Because that's what his dad had on the battlefield.
Scene later on when John and Clovis, excuse me, Gendry, meet in the cave, I got all the warm and fuzzies inside.
Yeah.
It was so beautiful to me because Robert and Ned were just best friends, and to see the bastard children, even though we know John's not a bastard anymore, and to see like the bastard children of them because like
he grew up
like
a bastard.
We fought together. Our fathers fought together, and they won together. And it was like, constantly, like right in that moment, I felt the bond between them, and I want them to be friends, and I am like excited for their friendship.
By the way, I think it should be the freezing bastards.
The freezing bastards.
They're not all bastards.
So
we got Tormund Giantsbane, Beric Dondarrion, the Hound, Jorah Mormont, Jon Snow, Gendry the Hammer, and Thoros.
We didn't even get to talk about Jorah. We're going to have to wrap soon. But when Jorah joined the group, and all these people that have like come out of nowhere and joined this ragtag group.
The freezing that's bastards. Going up. Yeah, that's good.
I love that now Daenerys has a love triangle. Again, Jorah's always part of it. And now it's Jorah and Jon. And like every time Jon's coming, Jorah's and him, like, they snap eyes. And you can see them looking back and forth. And the camera makes you look at that.
Yeah. And the Jon relationship with Daenerys is really growing. That's like in this episode,
she got used to him.
Yeah, she got used to him. I saw that she really didn't want him to go.
Yeah. Jon is digging her. He is super into her. Not super into her, but you can see he's getting into her.
I can see it because he's stopped figuring out how to talk to her. Like, he's doing that thing that he did.
He's brooding.
Yeah, where he's like, well, bye. And it's like, oh, you like her.
At least you won't have to deal with me anymore.
So, yeah, they're heading out. They're going to take on the Whites. And there was something dragging out behind them. I don't know what that was. Maybe the cage. I don't know what it was.
Yeah, it's probably
some people dragging out there.
But I'm a little worried about who's going to come back from the journey north.
Who's going to die in the north?
I really don't want this. But
a little prediction? Do we have time? I don't know.
Yeah, let's do one real fast prediction. All around and say where we can follow
I'm worried about Tormund. That's the one thing I want to say. Like, I'm really worried about him because I want him to get with Brienne, but I know that it's...
And he did mention Brienne.
It's a little worrisome. I feel like he's the one that if they want to punch us in the heart... That might be who they pick. But that's my prediction. MR Dave Child, DaveChild.com. I'm Dave Child.
I think that this whole mission beyond the wall to get an undead man for proof for Cersei, it's all just so risky. They're risking all their best warriors, the king himself, and all just to do another risk by showing up at Cersei's front door with it. I think it's a huge mistake, and something bad's going to happen north of the wall. Over by those guys, the freezing bastards. And I'm Ryan Mallady. You can follow me at Ryan Mallady everywhere. And on Snapchat, we got behind the scenes here in AfterBuzz. So check it out.
Nice little song.
I think the only people coming back are the Hound, Jon, and Gendry. You can follow me at Cinematic Escape because I'm always right.
I don't know about Gendry.
There you go. The Hound is definitely the prince that was promised. You can follow me at Kyle Matic on Twitter.
I think it'll be very interesting, like Omar pointed out, that Gendry's hammer might possibly be made from dragon glass, which would be super helpful. It'd be interesting to see next episode. You guys can follow me and tweet me your predictions. I always love them. On Twitter and Instagram, at Amber Plaster.
Awesome. Thank you guys so much for watching this AfterBuzz TV after show for Game of Thrones, Season 7, Episode 5, Eastwatch. If you're watching us on YouTube, make sure to click that like and subscribe button. And if you're following us on iTunes, subscribe and keep on listening. We'll be back next week, guys.
Helena killed Joffrey.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.